And you know, you're listening to the radio, or you're listening to a story or something, and all of a sudden you start hearing, oh, that's, it's like, oh, please stop, I want to listen to that. And that happens to us when we're driving in the morning. We always hit the spot. I don't know if it's like too much energy or interference in that area. We have to turn it off. We're so glad you're here. Listen, next week, you probably know that in the Christian world, they're celebrating something called Lent. Have you heard that before? Let me see your hand. It starts on Ash, traditionally Ash Wednesday, and it goes through Easter Sunday. Actually, technically through Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, and then Easter Sunday. And so, do you know what Lent was for? Anybody? You know what Lent was for? It was for personal self-reflection. It was for, you know, leaving some things behind. Some people tend to leave things like not eating meat. You've heard that before? Some people say, okay, I'm going to fast not watching my favorite show for the next 40 days. Other people say, I'm going to fast for those of us who are a little on the younger side. Some people are saying, I'm going to fast Facebook. That's not one that I was willing to fast. I'll be very, very, Cameron, you wouldn't be able to fast that one either. I see Cameron there all the time. By the way, some of you still have not responded to my friendship. I have extended my arm of friendship towards you, and you have rejected it or ignored it. I will keep doing it. Okay. So anyway, it's 40 days for spiritual transformation. Okay. Starting next week, we're gonna go on a journey of transformation ourselves. Okay. And so from next week through Easter Sunday, we're going to be talking about what are some of those things in our lives that we have to change in order to be better Christians, better people, better partners, but whatever the case may be, so that we may be, I mean, God calls us to move from glory to what? God doesn't want you to sit stale, you know, in the same place where you were spiritually and physically and relationally, where you were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. God wants you to improve. And so there are some things that we can do that can change that. And so for the starting next week, we're going to be talking on that. And this is the reason why I'm plugging this today. Did you know that most of our battles are fought, won, or lost in our minds? Did you know that? You know that sometimes we are our worst enemies? What are the three enemies that any Christian faces? Do you know the top of your head? It's the devil, the world, and what else? And the flesh. In that order of importance. Did you realize that? In that order of importance. The devil. Now, some people always, you know, accusing the devil for everything. Oh, the devil made me do that. Well, no. Chances are that the devil didn't make you do anything. You know why? Because the devil is not omnipresent. You know what that means? That the devil cannot be at all places at all times. Did you know that? Sometimes we want to attribute that kind of power to the devil. Only God is omnipresent. Amen? We can't equate God with the devil, you know, that the verse, good versus evil, right? And we want to put God versus Satan. No. God is in a category all by himself. The devil is somewhere like down there. You know what I mean? But the biggest enemy that you and I would ever face is self. We live with it, baby. It's right here. Right? It's in here. And sometimes we win and lose spiritual battles based on not the devil, sometimes not even the world, it's ourselves. So this is what I want you to do. And again, it's a long plug, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to consider what are some things in my mind, self-defeating thoughts and things that I tell myself that are hindering my progress in the Lord? Okay, that's one. Make a list. Is it fear? Is it, is it doubt? Is it, you fill in the blank, whatever that is, and make a list, okay? And then I want you to think about those things that you do to yourself, that you speak to yourself mentally that keeps you down, okay? Secondly, we're going to be talking about changing your words. And I think Pastor Gary is going to be preaching on that one. It's changing your words. Did you know how powerful words are? Powerful. I mean, they're incredible. You could tell somebody something, and that person can carry that for years. I mean, I remember stuff that were told to me when I was young. I don't remember what I was wearing. I don't remember where I was at, but I remember the words. I vividly remember the words. And so there's things that we speak, that we say to people around us, to ourselves, to coworkers, that can kill our progress, okay? So I want you to make another list. What are some of those words and phrases and negative stuff that I say? And make a list. What are some of the positive things that I say? Because, you know, it works both ways. You can destroy somebody by what you say, but you can build somebody by what you say. Okay? So that's week number two. Week number three, we're going to be talking about changing. Now listen to this one, all right? Because this is where most of us sometimes, you know, need a little help in. Changing our attitude. Have you ever met somebody with a bad attitude? You're saying, mm-hmm. I live with that person, right? right. Listen, it's been proven that you will only succeed as much as your attitude will allow you to succeed. We're going through some. I've told you this. We're going through some changes at our company, and I was given a new boss. My boss is moving to another, you know, he's going to do something else, and I was given a new boss. And, you know, I like my boss. My old boss. Really. We have a great, great working relationship. It's come to the point where we can almost like read each other's thoughts. You know, it's come to that place. And so now I have a new boss. And so what am I going to do? Am I going to have a bad attitude about that? That I have a new boss. Why do I need a new boss? You know, that could kill my future. Or I can have a good attitude about it and say, you know what, I'm going to be for this new boss as much as I was there for my old boss. Right? That helps. And then finally, on Easter Sunday, we're going to be talking about changing directions. Changing directions. Have you ever been lost in the highway? Right? And you're going fast, and you're moving forward, right? But you're going in the wrong way. Now, there's some people who are honest, okay? They've very, very, but honestly going in the wrong direction, right? It doesn't matter how fast you go or that you're moving forward, but if you've taken the wrong exit, it's going to lead you to it. So this is what I want everyone to do, and this is going to be part of our talk this morning, and that is that I want you to start thinking. This is not just for you, you understand, right? You're not the only one who has bad thoughts and sometimes a bad speech or a bad attitude or going in the wrong direction. You know of people who fit in any of those categories. And I want you to start thinking about who those people are. I want you to start writing a list of who those people are. I want you to be praying for that list each and every day. And I want you to pray that the Lord, this is what I want you to pray very, very specifically. I want you to pray that the Lord would open doors of opportunity for you to invite those individuals to come to church and to listen to these words. Listen, the world is in chaos, all right? The system around us is in chaos, and people need to hear how, you know, some practical spiritual truths that are going to help them. And I think they can get it here, okay? I think they can get it here. And so I want all of us to collectively be thinking about not only ourselves, but also those people we know who need to hear this message, okay? And especially for Easter Sunday, you know, that changing directions is so important. We want to have this place full. We want to have we want people to who are not Christians to be here to hear the word of the Lord. Is that a good thing? Yeah. All right, that was a long plug. All right, pray with me for a second, please. God, you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your heart remains the same. Your mercy remains the same. Your mercies are new every morning. That's how much you care for us, Lord. You don't want us to beat ourselves down when we fall. You want us to reach to you and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, we all come with our baggage. We all come with our shortcomings and our sin. And we pray, oh God, that you just renew our lives this day, that we may be transformed each and every day into that which you have called us to be. Lord, it may look differently for each and every one of us. You have a different plan for our lives, but Lord, I pray that we would be moving in that direction, that we would be the people that you've called us to be. And we ask for your mercy this morning. For Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, we've been talking about building a new community, and this is part 5 of that. Can you refresh my memory? What are some of the themes that we've covered so far? Let's see if you've been paying attention. Serving together. That was last week, right? Serving together. We're called to stand side by side like a team, right? And go at it together. What else? Worshiping together, right? God has called the assembly of his people, right, to come together in worshiping the King of Kings. And basically, we are rehearsing for what's to come in eternity. What else? Yes, yes, accommodating, okay. Do you remember what theme we touched on? The belonging together or growing together, one of those two. I don't even remember myself, but yeah, that's true. We have to be accommodating. That's correct. So we talked about growing together, right? Well, we started out by belonging together, right? Way back 5 weeks ago, right? Way back when. We're 5 weeks older. Ooh, right? That's a long time has passed. Belonging together, and then we talked about growing together, and worshiping together, and serving together. And today, we're going to be talking about a bigger community. And you know why we're talking about a bigger community? Because there is a danger in talking about together that much. Did you know that? It's been good. I mean, we have a strategy as to why we wanted to touch on this. But if we talk about, you know, belonging together and growing together and worshiping together and serving together, what's the danger there? I need four guys to come up here with me. Four guys. Quickly. Four guys. All right. One. All right. It's not that hard. One, two, three, four. All right. Four guys. Five is fine too, Kevin, if you want to. You're already up. You don't have to go back there. You're already halfway here, right? And so here we are, right? Here we are. We have a team here, right? And we're walking together, right? And we're growing together, and we're fellowshipping together, and so we strategize, right? So let's make a little huddle here. All right, guys, this is what we're gonna do, okay? I have no idea the play I'm gonna be calling here, but this is all, you know, every man for himself. Just find yourself open. I'll throw you the ball. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, go! All right, so. Oh, but wait a minute. I changed my mind. I think I have a play. So come over here again, and so, hey guys, I really think we can do this. We can win. All right, we can win. I believe in you. I believe in your speed and your abilities, and you really can do this. So this is what we're gonna do. Okay. Just get open. I'll throw you the ball, and we're gonna score here. Okay. This is our drive. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. All right, ready? Oh, but you're offsides, man. You're offsides. Get back. Okay, everybody, come back. Come back. Come back to the huddle, please. Come back to the huddle. Come back to the huddle. What happened there, Kevin?
Sorry.
Why were you offsides? Now, guys, come on, man. Focus. It's right here, okay? This is it. Our moment, our time. We got to do this. We got to win. Victory is within our reach, okay? Yeah. So let's do it now, okay? Everybody, every hand in here. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, go! All right, come on. It's okay, all right. No, you stand over here. All right, you guys, why don't you stand right behind me? What's everybody behind me? What do you mean the time is off? What do you mean?
Delay of game.
All right, guys, come over here, come on. Do you get the picture here? We're doing a lot of stuff together, right? But we're not playing, right? I'm pumping them up. I'm giving them the play. I'm cheering them on. I'm saying, hey, I believe in you guys. We're growing, right? It made you feel real good. I mean, you were ready to play, right? But were we actually playing? No. And the danger of talking about togetherness this much is that we get into our little holy huddles. Come here. All right. And we don't leave it. Now, I've seen churches that go throughout their whole life in a holy huddle. All right, so guys, this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to move to that side together as a team. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's go. All right. Wow, this was fun. Let's do it again. Let's go the other direction. All right. Okay. All right. That's all they do. All right, guys, very, very nicely done. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. We get in our little huddles and we don't want to leave. But God has called us to a bigger community. The reason why we belong together and grow together and worship together and serve together is not for ourselves. Is not to keep it within ourselves, is to actually put it to practice for this bigger community. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 reads this way. I love it. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Jesus speaking said this, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine for men, for people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." What a wonderful, wonderful passage. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," right? So is there a contradiction there? No. Do you remember a few weeks ago I told you, you know, we're like stars. We draw our light from God, our source. But we are still called to be light, to shine for everybody to see. Notice that Jesus said here, look, don't take your brightness and hide it in a holy huddle, right? Don't take your light and put it in a place where it cannot be of service to anybody. We are not spy Christians. You know what a spy Christian is? I wish I had the music now. Have you heard that Mission Impossible? The Mission Impossible? Does anybody know that? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I cannot let anybody see me now. All right. And people do that, right? They leave their home on a Sunday morning. Dun, 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 dun. We made it here. Yes. We survived. We worship the Lord. We tear up. We hear about the world that is dying out there, and man, our heart just breaks. We hear about the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary. And the lashes and the beating and the nailing to the cross and the, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. And we say yes and amen to that. And the last song is played. We go through those doors. And of course, after we have our coffee, then the music plays again, right? Dun, 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 dun. Hiding our light. And Jesus said, no. Put it up there for everybody to see. Listen, why ought we to do this? Because we are part of a bigger community. We are part of a bigger community. Now, I know that some people have taken things out of context and they said, well, I am, part of this world, but not really of it, right? So I'm heaven bound. And there's still people who are so heavenly good. What's the saying? That they're, what is it? How does that go again? They're so heavenly minded and heavenly bound that they're no earthly good. But that's not people here, of course. That's not you. I'm not talking about you, but you've seen people like that. I've seen people like that. Listen, there's the community. The first community that we are a part of is the community called the church. Okay? That's what we're all about. We're part of this greater community called the church. You've read about this in Acts chapter 2, where it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. Okay? Selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Of all people. That's what that community was, the church. Now, the whole together theme has been to grow us in that direction so that we may be, all, a reflection of an Acts 2 kind of church. That we are praying together and breaking bread together and growing together and worshiping together because we are part of this community called the church. Now, listen, when we are moving in that direction, listen to what the book of Acts continued to read in verse 47. It says, "And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. They met in their homes, and they met, by themselves. That was part of it. But they also met in places where they could be seen by people. They met in the temple courts. They went around and doing this throughout the whole city. They were seen by people. They were ministering to people's needs, right? As the word there says that miraculous signs and healings were taking place. They were actually touching people. So not only were they doing the growing in discipleship, but they were taking that out to a hurting community. And the Lord may not ask you to perform a miracle or to perform a healing, but you know that by just listening to somebody and showing some empathy and just being for somebody, you may be healing so much greater. Did you know that? By showing them how you live, your love and your kindness and your relationships and all of that, you are serving as a living testimony of God's power in your life. And sooner or later, people are going to ask you, well, wait a minute, what's your secret? I've been doing a lot of witnessing through Facebook lately, catching up with some old friends from way back in like elementary school. I mean, it's really cool. And they start seeing, you know, one of the things that I've been told, wow, you look the same. And I look at their picture and said, oh, I feel like I wish I could say the same about you. And they look at pictures with, you know, my wife and with Carmen and me and the kids and, you know, the stuff that we do together. And they're going sometimes, you know, they've been divorced a couple of times or they've been struggling in their marriages and relationships, and it's not a fun thing. It's not a funny thing. I mean, each of those is their own story. But if they were to, you know, somebody asked me, I said, are you still in church? You know, because they remember when I was yay big, you know, I couldn't go to the wild things that people were going to and the parties and all this stuff because I was in church with my parents. So a couple of questions, are you still in church? And I said, yes, of course. Amen. That's a testimony. Because way back then, they thought it was foolish, right? Didn't they? They thought it was foolish. Well, what do you mean? I mean, what kind of fun is going to church? Now, fast forward 22 years later, and, you know, the Lord has blessed me with a great relationship with my wife and my kids, and we're stable, we're normal, I think. You know, and I've, you know, I haven't destroyed my body with drugs and alcohol and late night and wild partying and any of that, and I can still, you know, look kind of young. And strong, amen. Woo! Right? Oh my goodness! And they're a wreck, right? Because they did all the wild stuff and all the wild living, and they're paying for that now. I could tell them, look, I have the answer to your problems. That's the church. We learn here, we grow here, we serve together here, we do things in a huddle, but then we break the huddle and actually carry out the plays. Then the Lord added to their numbers. Now, what are we all about here at PCC? What is our call? I want you to read this, okay? This is our vision. Our vision is to be a multicultural church that makes a difference. Simple, isn't it? Okay, I want you to look at the screen, and I want you to repeat with me. Our vision is to be a multicultural church that makes a difference. Go ahead, 1, 2, 3. Say it one more time. One more time, please. Get it out of there, okay? I want you to repeat it now. 1, 2, 3. What is our vision?
Our vision is a church.
I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to close your eyes. And at the count of three, I want you to tell me what we're all about. Close your eyes. No cheating now. It's not even up there. All right, so one, two, three. What are we all about? All right, don't sit down. Okay, I want you to, because I think some of you are cheating. All right, so I want you to turn around and I want you to look back to the back of the room. To the back of the room, okay? Is everybody looking over here? All right. All right, so what are we all about?
Our mission is to be a multicultural church that makes a difference.
Good job, guys. Good job. You may have a seat. That was good. Now, if somebody were to ask you, so what is that PCC all about? What are you going to tell them? Now, how many cultures are here? Let me see. Okay, how many of you, okay, that may be like a, those of you who are from Jamaica, let me, you know, stand up. All right. Okay, remain standing. How many of you are from Trinidad? Okay. How many of you are from Haiti? Haiti. Okay, we have one there. Okay, how many of you are from the good old U.S. of A.? Let me see. Stand up. The USA. All right. How many of you are from, let's see, Puerto Rico? I'm standing. We have another one. We have another one over there. Okay, how many do we have from Canada? We have Canadians here. All right. Lindsay. El Salvador. Okay, we have Guatemala. All right. How come you guys are not standing? Where are you guys from? Barbados, okay. Okay, how about back here? Dominican Republic? No? Half Dominican and half Hondureña, please stand. Okay, what else? Who are we missing? Yes. United Kingdom, please stand. All right. How about you, ma'am? Are you? Oh, you're knee. Okay, okay. Okay, is that everybody? So you may be seated. We have quite a few cultures already here. But did you know that living in South Florida, we are living in the second most multicultural place in the United States of America. Queens, New York is the number one. I think there's even Martians in Queens, New York. Seriously, okay? You know, like the aliens that are amongst us? They're in Queens. Right? And then they migrate to South Florida in the winter, right? But that okay, Cam, can you put it back up? Our vision, okay? Now, listen, that's our vision. So if they ask you, so what is, you know, what's PCC all about? Well, you know what? We are a multicultural church that makes a difference. And what kind of difference? Right? If they ask you that, so what kind of difference? So, well, okay, our mission is to show and tell Jesus Christ. Please stand, Cameron. I love Cameron's T-shirt. But I saw it. They haven't seen it. You have to turn around. You know the we, right? The we, right? So he put his nice T-shirt that says, "He saved me," right? Playing off of the Wii. Right? That's pretty nifty. I like that. All right? That's one way of witnessing and showing Christ. Well, how else can we do that? How else can we show and tell about Christ? Okay. So there's...
And how we live.
Okay. How we live. Yes. How else? How have you done it?
Help
others, right? You find out there's somebody who needs, you know, a couple of guys to help somebody move. You help out, right? How else? Okay.
To them, so I offered to take them to the supermarket because the dorms weren't serving food. So
All right, I'm gonna. I know that you. Can you say it? Well, can you say it again? Because we're being recorded.
Okay.
Rerun.
Well, I go to the University of Miami, and during spring break, a lot of people go back home to the Midwest or wherever they're from. The thing, though, is that there are some students that stay home because it's just too expensive to go home. The dorms don't serve, apparently, food during spring break. So I was asking the Lord, what can I do to somehow show them the love of Jesus without necessarily preaching at them, because that's not attractive to them. And so I offered to use my car and bring them to the supermarket if they needed to get groceries for the week.
Amen. That's great. That's a great story. That's a great story. How else? Anybody else? This is no trick question. The reality is that there's depending on who you are as a person. The problem that churches have with the E word, you know what the E word is, right? Evangelism, right? You hear that word, Lord, but I'm not an evangelist, right? Because we have a preconceived idea of what an evangelist is, and you're saying, no, that I've seen the evangelist, and that's not me. It's depending according to your personality, who you are, what you do, where do you go. It's going to look different. In my case, Gary, were you gonna say something? But you need the mic, because.
One of the things that I try to do is to listen to folks around me, you know, at work or whatever, and, you know, if somebody needs, like, they're hurting, just simply saying, hey, look, I'll pray for you. Yeah. I have a God who answers prayers. I'll pray for you.
That's right.
And then follow up with them afterwards to see if the Lord, or really to see how the Lord answered their prayer.
That's right. Yes.
My neighbor often works very late, so I sometimes fix her a meal so she doesn't have to come home and stumble in the kitchen.
That is Jesus Christ at work right there.
To help people with disabilities.
Yes, yes.
That's to show love All right. of God.
All right. Anybody else back here before I go to the front? Again, it's going to be according to who you are as a person, where you go, your personality. But the thing is, okay, Lord, you've called me to be light. I want to shine, right? We're running out of time already, guys, so I'm going to... This is why we are doing this, because we are called to serve a larger community called the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus Christ came for the world. And listen, this world as a community is a hurting community. We're gonna go through these pretty quickly here. It's a hurting community. You know that. I know that. The Bible says that when Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness, they were a hurting community. There's a lot of people who are sick in sorrow, in struggles, in fear, in confusion. And, you know, this whole economic meltdown is really coming down hard on so many people, losing their jobs and losing their homes and losing their marriages because of that. A hurting community. And here we are. Listen. Here we are as people of faith, and we're living in the same community. Some of us are experiencing the same thing, you know, there's a fear of losing job, there's no hardly any income, you know. Maybe I know of people personally who are losing their homes, and they're believers. So we experience the same hurt and pain, but what's the difference? Why can we get up in the morning and still smile? And sing, you know, what we sang here this morning. I will sing. How? What's the difference? God in our lives, right? We're no special, super powerful people who can handle. I mean, we're not. The difference is that we have God in our, on our side. And some people do not. By choice, by whatever the case may be, they've walked away. They've said no to God. They don't believe in God. They don't, whatever the case may be, they walked away from God. And they're struggling, and they're losing their marriages, and they're losing their sanity, and they're losing their nerves, and they're getting sick, and they're a wreck. I think this whole economic meltdown is a blessing from Almighty God. Because it forces people, it forces each and every one of us to what? Not seek after riches or jobs or positions, but to seek after God who gives all these other things, right? I may get in trouble by saying that this whole thing was a blessing from God. I don't know. But I really believe that, because it forces people to get down on their knees and say, okay, now what are you going to rely on now? The stock market, right? The real estate that you own, right? You're probably upside down, like really upside down, right? What are you gonna rely on? You have, look, all those conveniences and they're gone. They've been stripped to the core, and it's shown to be empty, completely empty. And so now people are asking themselves, now what? A hurting community. But Jesus, look, when he did this, he says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He didn't come and criticize them or hurt them or, you know, oh, see, I told you so. No, he didn't do any of that. He had compassion of them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, what? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are so very few. Ask that the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Jesus had compassion. We should have compassion. All right, this community is also, it's a community filled with opportunity, is what I just said. It's filled with opportunity. The hurt and listen, we've been placed here, and our mission is to show and tell Christ. That's, there's an open door of opportunity there. And times will get better. I mean, that's just the cyclical nature of our system and where we live. Things will get better. And when things will get better and jobs start coming back and income start going up and property values start going up again, and all of that starts just rising, people are going to forget God again. So we have to take them now while we still can. That's why Jesus never rested. Jesus had a 3-year window of opportunity. From the time he began his ministry to the time he ascended into heaven, 3 years. A 3-year window of opportunity. So it wouldn't be uncommon for me to say, almost in a prophetic way to us as a church, that we may have a very small window of opportunity to make the difference that God has called us to make. And God has brought us to such a time as this, as today, that we're not here by accident. But that we're here to make a difference, and the time to make that difference is now. That's why Jesus never rested. Jesus said this, look, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? And so I'm asking all of us, just to open our eyes when we walk out of here, and instead of playing the Mission Impossible you know, theme music as we go home and then do our thing and then come back next week, that we would shut that off and say, okay, Lord, what is the possibility that it's all around me and I just don't see it because I'm not paying attention? Just like Jesus told his disciples, open your eyes. Look, it's all around you. It's a community that calls the church to progressive action. This is a God mandate. It's a God mandate. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know why? You know why the church was persecuted? Because Jesus said, look, you'll be my witnesses. You'll go out there and you'll be my witnesses. And they went into the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came down. And they were empowered. And then they began doing all these things. And the church started growing. And then they got comfortable. Being comfortable sometimes is our worst enemy. They got comfortable, and the Holy Spirit had to send a persecution to hit them squarely between the eyes for them to get out. They love the Jerusalem thing. To go to Samaria? Are you kidding me? Judea? Why would I leave the comfort of my own home to do that? Now, there's some churches, listen, not this one, but there are some churches that are so good at sending missionaries and investing money out there, you know, far away where we don't have to do it. But they forget about you. So we have to keep things in perspective and, you know, in balance. Jesus is saying here, look, you're my witnesses. I'm calling you. This is your mandate. This is your mission. This is your assignment. This is why you are here on earth. This is why you exist. When you ask yourself, you know, the question, well, why? This should have happened to me here. I should have been dead here. I should have this or that. You know, you go through your whole life and you think, oh my good, I'm still standing, like that song says, right? I am still standing. It's for this mission. It's for this mission. It's for this call. And this community out there that we call the world needs two things. And you have those two things. You didn't buy it. You didn't learn it. You didn't rehearse it. You have these two things. Hope and healing. You have hope. I have hope. You have healing. I have healing. People are helpless. We have hope. People are sick. We have healing. But what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? I ask you to please close your eyes. And my prayer this day is that we would break the holy huddle. And that we would go out and starting this week, we would, you know, start creating those lists of people we know. Start praying for those lists. And start asking the Lord to give us the opportunity to really reach out into this bigger community. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the word that you've brought to us. And I pray, oh God, that we would be encouraged to fulfill the mission and the vision that you've placed in our lives. Lord, this short window of opportunity, Lord, we don't know how long we have. And your word urges us and reminded us again, hey, look, it's ripe. The fields are ripe for the harvesting. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would be a faithful laborer in the reaping of that harvest. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. In closing, I'm just going to ask that you just rise with us as we sing this song. See, whenever we do anything that the Lord commands us to do, it's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. And our job is to just share the joy that we know, so that more worshipers can come in and share the joy they know, so that more worshipers can come in. So I'm just going to ask you to just rise with us as we sing this song. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that we spend here, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the charge that you gave us, which was to go everywhere, but don't forget Jerusalem, but Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, Lord, and which is Pembroke Pines and Cooper City and Miami and all of Broward County and all the United States and all the world, just spreading the joy of knowing you. When people ask us why we're doing that, we just say, man, we're just loving our King. And this is how we're showing it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will just instill in each one of us, Lord, the vision, Lord, that you have laid on the leaders of PCC for this church. That we'll be that multicultural church where all cultures are welcome and embraced, Lord, and together we're making a difference. A difference in people's lives, a difference in the lives of this community. And by translation, the lives of the world, as we show and tell Jesus Christ in all that we do, and we just love in our King. Lord, bless each and every person as they walk out this door and meet their needs in a special way, so that they too will have that testimony. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you.
We will worship the King.
We come before you and sing with hands lifted high. We come before you with joy, with hands lifted high to the sky. And the world wonder why we just tell them we love you.